Thank you, Jim and the ensemble. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, look around, give somebody a wave and a smile and a real one that says, hey, I'm glad to be here and I'm glad you're here and glad all God's children are present and available today. If you happen to be watching online, be sure to say hello to our Dr. John Cazito over there, your voice with us during the process of our services. And as always, if there's any questions you have, he can get you some answers one way or the other along the way. But we're glad that you're here today to worship with us in spirit and in truth this morning. We're actually going getting ready to enter the season of taking our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So we've been mentioning that that's something that you'll want to pray about. This church has done phenomenal in the way that it has supported missions. And I just cannot say enough, particularly when I have opportunities to be with folks and they ask that question, and I talk about what you guys at Central Baptist have done in the way of missions. It really staggers people, because I can promise you it doesn't happen that way with a lot of churches and a lot of places that you tend to go. So thank you for all that you do in being obedient to our Lord and Savior. Next week we will be begin showing you the videos that kind of introduce you to our missionaries and give you the opportunity to see where your dollars go. Once again, we'd like to remind folks that everything that you give towards the Annie Armstrong Easter offering does go to keep our missionaries out there on the field. So I'll at least take a break. This will be the last Sunday that I'll just show you a little bit about Cuba. Obviously, we can do more of that a little bit later on. But I do have a couple of other pictures to show you that we actually do do some real work while we're over there that makes you sore and tired. Travis, if you would, go ahead and give me one of the pictures. This is the picture of us washing gravel. Now, I know that you all laugh about that, but that's literally what we had to do. They were getting ready to make some concrete to pour in some footings, and because of the dirt that was on it, they said that the concrete would not stick to the aggregate, so we were actually washing gravel. This is the gravel. We also washed sand, which I think we have another picture of that one. Travis, hit me with the next one there. All right, that's us. We actually used a sieve. They put the gravel and the sand and all the stuff that we were doing. So we looked like we were panning for gold or something. We were shifting it around. So Jimmy's getting the lights for you, so you'll be able to see a little bit better. But at any rate, that we would put that in there, and we would have to shake that, shake water over it, shake it through, then dump them into wheelbarrows, and then take them down or hand the wheelbarrows over to our truck driver, Gunny. He would take them down the 53 ramps. I'm being a little facetious, but several ramps that we had to go down to get that down to the place. So that just shows you an idea of some of the stuff that we were doing. Go ahead and give me that next one, Travis. This is actually a hole. It may be a little bit tough to see, but those are a couple of guys that are down in the hole that is actually that was dug out. That's going to be used as a footing. There's steel in the bottom of that. Concrete will be poured, and then also there will be some columns that will be poured with concrete. That rebar was bent. I mean, this is all done from scratch. I mean, bent and then tied with steel. And give me another picture there, Travis. It just gives you kind of an idea. That hole, I think, is about five or six feet deep. I want to say it's like 5 by 5 and then maybe 6 feet deep. And that's actually going to be a support column for where they're going to be extending out the retirement center. This has always been on the plan, but as funding becomes available and materials become available, that's where the intersection happens. But that's what one of the things that we were working on. And of course, that was with the sand and the gravel being washed was for this project. Go ahead, Travis. I think I got one more picture. If you can look, I'm a little bit tough, but you can see that column of steel. They'll actually put forms around that, and then concrete will go down in that to actually work on that support column. Everything over there is pretty much concrete and steel. You don't have a lot of wood construction or wood frame or anything to that nature. Is that all I got, Travis? I had 5 of them. Just wanted to kind of show you a little bit, give you some pictures and some insight into what your funding goes for. As we carried the funding over there, a lot of that buys the materials when they're available. The materials such as concrete and gravel, sand, all those things go toward that project as well. So that's just another phase
of what your support for the Cuba ministry goes for. So just keep those things in mind. I could probably show you a little bit more later on, but as we start to enter into the Annie Armstrong Easter offering time, I won't talk any more about Cuba just yet, but I'd be happy to sit down and brag about what Jesus has done, show you more photographs a little bit later on as we have a time. So remember, as of pretty much today, we're starting into Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You can use one of the envelopes, or if you don't have one that's specifically marked, you can just put Annie Armstrong, or you could put Easter offering. Either way, we will make sure that that gets where it's going. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer today as we begin our time together. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful, we're thankful that, Lord, you allow us to be a part of some incredible things that you do. Lord, you still want to use your people to accomplish your work. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to do that. Lord, we think about not only what took place a couple of weeks ago in Cuba, but, Father, what takes place on a daily basis for the missionaries that that are out there just working to win people to Jesus. So, Lord, we think about our missionaries that are supported by the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And I pray, Father, that you would just lead us and guide us in what you would have us to do to contribute to this offering, that your word might continue to go forward. Now, for today, Father, I pray that you will help us to clear our hearts and minds of anything that may hinder us from hearing you today. And, Lord, I just pray that we will be in tune with you, that all that we do truly is an act of worship to you. Father, as we lift our hearts in song, Lord, as we lift our voices, as we pray, Father, as we give, all these things are acts of worship. And Lord, I pray that you would help remind us of that as we go forward. Help us to be attentive to you today and receptive to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.
If you would please join me as we stand and sing "I Stand Amazed in the Presence," 547.
Jesus saves. We have heard the song. Jesus saves. Come and come.
praise and worship music in our medleys each week. And so I invite you, we've added the words to the screen. I'd like to encourage you to sing along. If you each week we'll have like three songs built in one, so you may know one or all. Feel free to sing along. Thank you.
Who rules the nations with truth?
Thank you so much. And now we're going to, as we enter in, continue entering into worship, join me as we sing Alleluia, 223.
That's what we're here exactly to do today, is to praise Him. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. That's Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25. It's been amazing the opportunities that have presented themselves, particularly as of late, to be what God wants us to be in the hearts and in the lives of so many people. If you will pause and look around you, you will see that there are people that have needs that are in your workplace. You will see that there are people who have needs in your neighborhood. You will see that there are people who have needs in your church family. You will see all these places, and God has an expectation of us. Now, I kind of roll forward when we think about it from the church's perspective, and you look at the church in Acts. Remember what it said? It said they all had one heart, they all had one mind, and it said that what they did was that they had sold their possessions and they brought it together so that anybody who had need, that need actually was met. Now, I've said before, I'm not telling you to go sell all your stuff and give it to the church, unless you want to, or unless the Lord leads you to, obviously, you know, that'd be good. But nonetheless, that's not exactly what God's asking us to do, but God has given us talents and abilities to be able to use for His honor and for His glory. Now, today is not a passage, we're not looking at the passage today about the parable of the talents, but rather we are looking at what's going to happen when we stand before our Maker, when we stand before the judge. Because here's one thing that I think slips our mind very, very often, and that is simply this. We are accountable for how we use what God gives us. Now, that includes everything. That's finances, that's abilities, that's our time, that's so many different things. And God is going to hold us accountable. So I ask you today, as we even begin our time together in the Word of God, here's one of the big questions I have for you. If you had to stand before your Maker today and answer for how you have spent your time, how you have used your talents, and how you have been a steward of the resources that God has given you, what do you think He would say to you? Now remember, you can fool people, You can fool your neighbors, you can fool your friends, you can fool your family, but you cannot fool God, because God knows everything about each and every one of us. He knows our heart. He knows our desire. Now, let me specify something in particular before we get into our scriptures. When you are using those talents and abilities and resources that God has given you, let me tell you right now what it's going to cost you. It is going to cost you time, okay? Time is something that today is considered to be even more valuable than money, but it is going to cost you time. It is going to cost you finances along the way. It's going to cost you something out of your pocket to be what God wants you to be. And here's part of the reason why, and some of the things that we need to understand, because none of it's ours. It's all God's. It all belongs to Him. What God has given us, we are to be stewards of. And we've preached on that before. You know what it means to be a steward. That means that you are managing something for someone else. So if we are stewards of what God has given us, then obviously it all belongs to Him. So are we being faithful in those realms? Are we being faithful in those particular areas? So today's scripture, when we get to it, it's going to talk about, you know, what's going to happen later on. It's not just saying, here's what you're supposed to do. We've already learned that. The Word of God's already told us. We're supposed to use our abilities and our talents and our time for Him. Well, what's going to happen at the end of it, and how does He view it? Look with me, if you would, in the Word of God today at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And we're going to begin reading at verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, ye did it to Me. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You today, again, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would truly give us wisdom and insight into Your Word. Lord, I pray that as we take this time to hear the Holy Spirit, that we would see what it is that You say to us. And Lord, if there's correction needed, I pray that You will move us in that direction. Lord, I also pray that if there's one here who doesn't know You, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to You. And Lord, have the opportunity to experience eternal life, but Lord, also to have the opportunity to walk as one of Your children here on this earth. So Lord, I just ask right now that You would use me as Your messenger for the moment. Lord, lift me up that I can lift You up, that You might draw all men unto You. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a couple of things that we want to see out of these particular passages today. And one of the first things is that we have to realize is that there is going to be a return of the king. Too often what happens is we get in that rut. You know, yeah, I've defined a rut as a grave that's opened up on both ends, but we get in a rut. You know, we do the same things, but are we truly looking forward to eternity? Did we get up today and truly say, you know what, today could be the day that life as we know it ends? Today could be the day that the trumpet sounds and time is no more. Today could be the day that we begin eternity in that place called heaven. Most of the time what happens is we're so caught up in the busyness of the world that yeah, we know that's a reality, but it's more in the back of our mind than on the forefront of our mind. And that's going to play a key role here in just a moment to one of the things that I want us to talk about. You see, particularly when we started off this verse 31, it depicts the triumph return, the triumphal return of Christ as a sovereign king, and it emphasizes his divine authority and majesty in that second coming. And the thing about it is, are we really looking for it? We know, we've kind of tucked it away in the back of our hearts and minds. See, Jesus is going to return the next time, the one we're looking for. He's going to return not as a humble servant, but as a glorious king with the authority over all of creation. Now think about that for just a moment. You know, remember what it was before, but remember what it's going to be like when he's coming back. See, as believers, we must live in anticipation for the return of Christ. Are we really doing that? Are we really looking at it that way? See, this anticipation should influence our daily actions. It should influence our daily decisions. Did you hear what I said? Our daily thoughts. Our daily actions. You know, if Jesus is something that you just do on Sunday, you're doing it wrong. It's something that you and I should be doing every moment of our lives as we look at those who are around us, as we look at our lives as well. See, is the influence of Jesus and the fact that he is going to return, is it something that is influencing your decisions? Is it something that is influencing your actions today? Think about that for a moment. A second thing I want us to see out of this particular text today is that there was the separation between the sheep and the goats. In verse 32, it says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep and the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. You see, Jesus is using this imagery of the shepherd separating the sheep and the goats to illustrate that there is a distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, that's not hard for us to pick up. We can understand that, can't we? In other words, there are two different factions in the world today. There are those that are lost and they're on their way to hell. There are those that are on their way to heaven. And you cannot be in any other camp than one of those two. There are no other camps. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no neutral site. You are either on your way to heaven right now or you are on your way to hell right now, period. It doesn't get any easier than that, does it? It doesn't get any more plain than that. You can try to scrutinize that any way that you would like, but that is the plain, simple bottom line. If you don't like that, there's nothing you can do to change that other than pick the right destination. So is Christ influencing your decisions? But there's also another crowd. Now, I want to say something very pointed here as well. If you've trusted in Christ, you are not going to lose that salvation. I want you to know that. The Word tells us, the Father has put them in my hand, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand, including yourself. But that don't mean we always walk the way we should, does it? It doesn't mean that we always do what we should do. That means there are times we find ourselves in backslidden conditions. And when we do, let me make you this promise. The Holy Spirit is coming after you because those whom the Lord loves, he chastens, correct? You ever been outside of the will of God and God came after you? Three of you. Wow. Three spiritual people in the house of God today. Wow. Yes. He's not going to let you get away with it. And some people have run for days. Some have run for weeks. Some have run for years. But let me make you this promise. You're not going to outrun God, number one. And number two, you will never have peace until you make it right with him. It's plain and simple. Listen, today, do you want peace? Get it right with God. If that's what you're after, if that's what you're seeking, if you have run till you're dead tired, then it's time to turn to the Father who will forgive you, who will restore you, who will use you. Think about that for just a moment. He's going to make a separation at that particular time. And he uses the imagery of a separate shepherd, separating the sheep and the goats to illustrate that there is a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. All right, this separation indicates a very clear distinction based on one's actions and one's life's decisions. Now, I want to pause right here for a moment because I don't want anybody to get crazy on me here. I am not preaching salvation by works. Do you understand that? Yeah, because the Word of God says you are saved by through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. There is nothing you can do to earn it. So I am not, and I'm going to underline that. I am not preaching salvation by works, because you're not saved by works. You are saved by grace through faith, not by works. However, the Word of God also tells us that because of our salvation, then there should be evidence of works. Are you picking up what I'm putting down there? Remember what the Word says, the verse we just quoted. Saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But over in the book of James, it says, but what? But faith without works is dead. Yeah, how many of our faith, are our faith dead today? Because there are no works. We're just coasting. We're cruising through life. And God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be his hands, to be his feet, to be what he needs for us to be. See, the sheep symbolizes those who live in alignment with the Word of God, while the goats represent those who are not in alignment with the Word of God. So today, as we examine our lives, today, as we examine our attitudes, are we living in a way that reflects the righteousness of God? Are we engaged in acts of kindness? Are we engaged in acts of love? Are we engaged in acts of mercy that reflect the character of the sheep rather than that of the goats? Now, remember what I told you a minute ago. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you energy. But I will tell you one thing. There is no greater fulfillment in your life than being what God wants you to be, being used as an instrument in his hand in the life of somebody else. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. When God uses you, incredible things happen, not because of you, but because of him. But incredible things happen in your life as well. Man, there is a great, great fulfillment in knowing that God used you to accomplish his will in somebody's life. Isn't that cool? How many of you have experienced that before? Makes you want to go do it again, doesn't it? Makes you want to go. And you know what? As the preacher, I love knowing what God's gifted you guys in doing. I love being the guy who says, you know what? I'm not the person you need to talk to in this situation, but I know the person that you can. And I'll point them in your direction. I'll sit back and say, hey, let me introduce you to somebody. Maybe you don't even know them, but here is somebody who's walked that trail with you and they've been victorious in it. See, that's why it's important for God's people to come together and forsake not the assembling of themselves together. Because, see, it's not always all about what you can get from church, but it's about what you can give as well. You know, the preacher's only up here, I was going to say for 30 minutes a day, but y'all know better than that, 30 minutes a week. Y'all, a little bit longer than that, but you know what? You know where the rubber meets the road? It's where you guys function as believers. It's where you guys function and get together, and you're a part of each other's lives, and you pray together, and you work together, and you serve together. What a joyous, joyous opportunity. A third thing I want us to see out of this passage today is that there is a call to serve others. Now, this is the thing that really kind of caught me, particularly over the past several weeks. I have seen an unprecedented opportunity that God has given us as Central Baptist Church to be used as instruments in his hand. Now, notice what it said in verses 35 and 36. It says, For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now this is the Lord. This is Jesus telling folks, this is what you did. And Jesus is highlighting the tangible acts of service and compassion that characterize the lives of the righteous. You know why? It's not because it's just something you do. It's because it's something that's in you. You know, Jesus puts within your heart that compassion. Jesus puts it in your heart to sit back and say, you see somebody in a situation, and then the Lord puts it in your heart and says, you need to help that person. You need to do this, or you need to do that. And you know what happens? That causes you to be moved to action, to do something. Not just let it go by. But it causes you to be moved to action. And there's something very interesting that we find out in this particular scripture that I think too often we forget. But consider for a moment that Jesus, you know, is highlighting the tangible acts of service and the compassion that characterizes the lives of those who are righteous. Once again, I am not preaching salvation by works. You'll hear me say that again before this is over with. See, serving others in need is akin to serving Jesus himself. Did you hear that? That's important. That's very important. Serving others in need is akin to serving Jesus Christ himself. See, these acts of kindness are not just social duties, but spiritual commitments to serve Jesus through helping others. Consider how we serve those that are around us. Now, I'm talking about not just on the corporate level of the church, but I am talking about you in your personal life, because I will make you a promise that every person that you see, God foreordained it. I guarantee you that where you live, God foreordained it. I guarantee you that the community in which you live with and work with and the circle in which you worship, it is not an accident that you were there. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. You know what? If you're a part of this family, the family of God, somebody needs you. They need what you have. We're all different, aren't we? We all have different strengths and different talents and different abilities. But we're not all the same. And we need that community. We need each other. So consider today how you serve those that are around you. Do you seek opportunities to care for the hungry? To care for the thirsty, to care for the stranger, and to care for the imprisoned. We need to make servanthood a daily practice, embodying the love of Christ in all the interactions that we have. I was thinking, and will probably for the rest of my life, remember a lady who, not long ago, I think it was back in the early part of the winter, came by the church. She's not affiliated with the church. She was just desperate. She wasn't a person who didn't have a job. She had been in a situation that was abusive, that she had to essentially get away and hide from her physically and verbally and mentally abusive husband. And therefore, she had been not been able to be at her job. She had been in a home for women who were going through what she was going through. And she was in trouble with her rent. Now, it's interesting that this is not something that we generally do by rule. We've got a benevolence team. We've got that. And most of you all, if you've served on that benevolence team, you know I am very quick to sit back and say, well, we've got a team that works on that. Let me get you in touch with them. But something told me otherwise that day. Something told me that I needed to find this lady some resources. So I did. I made sure, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when you get to position like Pastor David and I, you hear a lot of stories. People come to you with a lot of stories. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? That aren't always true. Matter of fact, they'll come to you with a story, and then a year later, they'll come back to you with the exact same story that they had a year earlier. So sometimes we get a little skeptical because we try to be good stewards of what's God's as well. But the Lord was just impressing on my heart, you need to help this lady. I said, Lord, what do I do? She told me where her apartment complex was, and I went over and talked to the apartment manager. I said, look, I want to talk to you for a minute about so-and-so. She said, yes, please sit down. I said, well, this is, she came to us, and this was the story that she told us. She said, that's 100% true, every ounce of it. And I said, well, has she said, yep, she has come and she has talked to us. And she said, I am doing everything I can as the apartment manager to help this lady because she deserves it. She needs it. And I said, well, you know what? There is something that we can do. We couldn't take care of all of it, but I was able to find resources to be able to do a good part of what she needed to be caught up. And you know, most of the time what'll happen is you don't hear anything else. They go their separate ways. A couple weeks later, I got a card here at the church from that lady. And you know what basically she said? She said, I was in trouble and you helped me. I was hungry and you helped me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I will always be grateful to the Father for sending me to Central Baptist Church because you showed God's love to me when I needed it the most and got me through a hard time. Let me tell you, folks, that is not us. That is the Father in heaven. And the Spirit will give you the indicators on what you need to do, when you need to do those things. It's so ironic what we see in these particular passages because what is happening as we get down to the end of our text, look down at verse 37. It said, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Now, I want to pause right there for just a minute because the righteous are saying, when did all this happen? You are saying that we did these things. I don't remember ever seeing you before. But yet you said we did these things. Now here's where you buckle up. Because look at verse 40. Because this was what the king said. It says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. Remember what I said earlier here? I said, when we serve in that manner, when we serve others, it's like we're serving Jesus. When we do things to help, when we spend that time, when we use that talent, when we spend that money in the manner in which Jesus tells us to, you know what he says? You might think you did it for them, but you did it for me. Won't it be cool if we get the opportunity to stand before the Master and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you? Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you in these conditions? And Jesus said, what you did to those around, you did to me. Does that kind of change our perspective as we go forward today? Does that kind of change the way we look at things? Now, I want to remind you of something. When the Lord calls us to do something like that, it is not. Everybody say that with me. It is not. One more time. It is not going to be convenient. It's going to take time out of your schedule. You will be grouchy.
Well, Lord, I don't mind doing this, but can't they just pick another time? Lord, why does everybody's life always fall apart at this particular juncture? I got things to do, places to go, and people to see. Lord, why is it that when I need to do this project, it is the hottest day of the year, and we got to be outside? Lord, why is it, if it's not that, why is it the coldest day, and we got to be outside? Lord, why did you call on me? You know that a well pump's going to cost $1,000. I don't want to spend $1,000 on this person because you know what? I think I have a right to my money. We got a problem, don't we? Remember what I said a minute ago? We are stewards, which means that we manage his stuff. You know what the Lord said? The Lord says, I'm going to make a withdrawal out of the bank account that you are holding for me to take care of one of the least of these. Sometimes that's not easy to do, is it? Sometimes that's tough on us. Now, you know what? You know what's really cool is that as I sit here and look over this crowd today, it's a good view, isn't it, Mark? Yeah, as I look out over this crowd today, I can say that I have seen you do that. And I have seen you not complain about it. I have seen you sit back and say, the Lord called, let's answer. I have seen you do that to great expense, to great length, and to great time. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't look out and see where folks didn't step up to the challenge because you're special. I want you to know that. I want every last one of you to know how special you are because I've seen you do some incredible things to the least of these. I love it. And I pray that God allows me to be able to see when you stand before him and you say, well, Lord, when did we do that? When did we take care of you when you were sick? Lord, when was it that we fed you when you were hungry? Lord, when was it that we gave you water when you were thirsty? Lord, this is the first time I've laid eyes on you. But the Lord says, uh-uh, because as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Even this past week, I got to witness God's people getting together. Not all Central Baptist Church folks, but to meet a need. To not ask for a dime. To sit back and put forth effort. And let me tell you something I've learned about myself as well. I learned that I can't do what I used to do. My feet still hurt. My back hurt for a couple days. But when I tried to get up the next day and I was like, ooh, ooh. You know what I thought about? Today's text. For as oft as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So I'm that old adage of I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. It's going to take a while. And I wasn't the oldest one out there. Some of these guys are a little bit older than that. But you have done incredible things for the sake of the kingdom. For as oft as ye have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. So finally, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40 calls us to live in readiness for Christ's return. Are we doing that?
ensuring our lives reflect His righteousness. You see, the distinction between the sheep and the goats urge us to be active in our faith, to love folks as Jesus loved them, to have compassion on folks. You know, some people have asked me, and I know that there have been times when people have come to us and they have played on the compassion of the church. They have played on the compassion of God's people. We do it. We didn't know it then, but we knew it later on. And people say, well, you know, how does that make you feel knowing that, that you helped somebody who told you lies and everything else? You know what we've gotten to the point of where we say this, say, well, you know what? That's not our problem. You know why? Because they didn't take advantage of us. They took advantage of the Savior. And He knows what our heart was in what we did. And He also knows how to take care of the situation. So I don't worry about it. I follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in what we feel like we should do. And if there's anything less than stellar, that's not on me. That's on Him. But I'll tell you, most of the time, the Lord takes care of it. There have been times when you're sitting there going, well, Lord, you know I'm a squeaky softy. You know I want to try to help out here and everything else. And the Lord's intervened in things. Where all of a sudden somebody who showed up and you're trying to help them, they just disappeared. I don't know. But I know this. We do the best we can. Let us commit to living as true servants. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said He came not to be served, but to serve. And we're to emulate Him. So let us commit to living as true servants and continuously seeking ways to bless and to uplift others. Now, I got to say this really hard because it seems like in our society today that the world's not doing anything to encourage or uplift people. It is doing everything it can to beat people down. And unfortunately, that is in the church as well. Unfortunately, the world has become a really, really nasty place to live, where our words don't reflect who we serve, where we're snippy. Yeah. And we're supposed to uplift one another. What are you, think about what you're getting ready to say to somebody. Is it uplifting? Is it encouraging? Or is it designed to beat someone down and push someone down? It's unreal what you see today. Are you being an encourager? Let us build up the body of faith. Isn't that what the word says? Are we living as true servants, seeking ways to bless and to uplift others, even if they don't deserve it? See, that's where we have a problem. Well, they just don't deserve it. Well, guess what? Neither do we. Because last time I checked, that word grace means unmerited favor. And it is God's grace upon us. And I know that God has forgiven me of so much. He says, you need to forgive others as well. You need to be an encouragement. You need to be a blessing. And yet we don't do that. If we don't like something, we're very boisterous about it, aren't we? It's so interesting that even from my standpoint as pastor, yet some of the stuff that people have said over the last 32 years have not been encouraging and uplifting. You know, had a person one time tell me at one point, said, you're the worst preacher I've ever heard in my life. Yay! Let me get ready for Sunday now! Yeah, you crashed and burned on how you handled that. That's not uplifting. That's not encouraging. Folks, if you encourage somebody, you'd be surprised what you'd watch happen. I told a guy one time that they were sitting there saying, we need to get rid of our pastor. What would you do? I said, well, I would pray for him. I said, I'd pray a lot for him. I said, because then what'll happen is if all y'all pray for him, he'll become one of the best preachers ever, and the largest church around will want to come take him away from you. That's one. Or I said, here's another idea. Every now and then, look, say amen when he's preaching and hits a really good point, but make sure it's a good point. But say amen, because he'll get so excited, he'll preach himself into a heart attack and he'll be gone. He'll go on home to be with the Lord. We need to be encouraging. We need to be uplifting to everybody that we come in contact with. Listen, even if you don't agree with them, that's why we can't even seem to have a conversation with people anymore, because we think if people don't agree with us, we can't have a conversation. That's not true. You can love people. I guarantee you that there's stuff that we don't agree with in this room right here. But listen, I'll still love you. I'll still come fight for you. I'll still drink coffee with you because I love you. I'll tell you, you have the right to be wrong all you want to be. And you'll tell me the same thing. But we need to be right about Jesus. And you know the really cool part? I would say 99.9% of the people that I have ever had a disagreement with, we agree on Jesus. That's why I love disaster work. Because you know what? Nobody ever starts getting into the theological thing other than knowing Jesus and worshiping him. Such a cool thing to work shoulder to shoulder for the cause of somebody else. Just loving Jesus. God's going to sort it all out when we get there. So can we reflect daily on how we can embody this servanthood and prepare ourselves for the day when we will stand before the throne and answer for what we've done? Oh, folks, reckoning day, she's a-coming. Someday, I will stand before the throne of God. You know what I'm going to answer for? I will answer for every sermon that has been preached out of that pulpit in the 23 years I've been here. Then I'm going to answer for every sermon out of every pulpit that was preached at Camp Herman and every youth meeting and everything that has been done together. I will answer for how I represented the master. My prayer is that I will be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me. Yeah, I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to see me. You took care of me." And then go, "Oh, you mean like the lady that came to the church that needed help?" You know what Jesus would say? "Yep, you helped me that day." "Oh, like the ramp that was built. You built that for me that day." Oh. See, if you're like I am, you're going to be, "Why couldn't I think about that before?" Well, here's our before. So let me ask you today, what's God speaking into your life right now? I'm going to ask Brad and our musicians if they would come up and take their place as we prepare for our time of invitation. But here's the key thing. First of all, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Listen, if you don't know him, he doesn't know you by name. He's going to take care of his children much in the manner that you would take care of your children. Let me tell you this. I have seen some of the most calm, docile people in this world, but you mess with their children, the claws come out. Amen? You don't mess with my kids. You mess with me, you do whatever you want. You call me whatever. If you start messing with my kids, doom, 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 doom. Well, I am a child of the King, and he knows me by name. I always like to point back to the rich man and Lazarus, even during funerals. Some of y'all have heard me mention that before. I said, you know, in that story, the rich man and Lazarus, you notice that the rich man is called the rich man, but Lazarus is called by name. You know why? Because God knew Lazarus' name. because he knew him. He didn't know the rich man because he wasn't one of his, so he just simply referred to him by a descriptor, the rich man. He knows me by name. Does he know you by name? Have you given your life to him? It's not about your works. Listen, you could be the best worker on the face of this planet. You could get humanitarian awards. You can get Nobel Peace Prizes and everything else and still go straight to hell. Because Jesus is the answer. Have you trusted him? Listen, if not, I beg you today, start that relationship with him by just simply praying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need the Savior. Forgive my sins and save my soul. Now help me live for Jesus for the rest of the time I have. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, that's the beginning. That was the handshake. I will promise you that he's writing your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here's the deal. He wants you to act like one of his children. How many of you all ever had your mama or your daddy say to you when you were little? Yeah, like in my case, it would be, you're a Carter, you need to act like one. Y'all ever have that? I didn't bring you up that way. How about that one? That's not the way my kids act. Hello, there's my people. You know why? Because that was, you are not going to do anything to bring shame to the family name because you weren't raised that way. That was what mama and daddy were trying to tell you. Okay, so now that you know Jesus, you know what he says? I ain't bringing you up that way. Represent me well. Well, how do we represent you? Well, when I'm hungry, you feed me, those around. When I'm thirsty, you give a drink. You know, you learn to follow me. You learn to love me. You learn to have compassion. And I tell you what, here's a good idea. Just act like my son, Jesus. That works every time, doesn't it? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus tell that guy, ooh, look, I ain't got time for you? Would Jesus say, well, I don't have the wallet to help you out here today? You know, but Don does. Go talk to him. He'll help you. Yeah. He'll come along the way. Listen, folks, God knows all those things. So where do we stand with him? All right, if you've trusted Jesus, listen, there's a couple other things he wants you to do. He wants you to profess him through baptism. You need to get that done. We'll talk about it. You need to let me know. See, sometimes we don't give real good instructions because we've been church people all of our lives, haven't we? Well, listen, here's what you need to do. Just, you know, talk to me. If you're here, come down here and say, hey, look, preacher, I got some questions. I don't even know where to begin. We'll sit down, we'll talk, we'll iron them out. If you're online, listen, you could call me just the same. You know, you got numbers, you can talk to Dr. Cazito, he'll get you in touch with me. We will get it worked out. But I want you to understand this too. Satan doesn't want you to do that. He is trying to keep you where you are right now. He's going, oh, geez, it's 10 minutes till 12, and we got to get out of here by lunchtime. So don't you make an invitational response. You just sit still because you'll have people in the back. If you get up and go down and talk to that preacher, they'll go, ah. No, we're here to celebrate. That's what it's about. It's about being able to celebrate together. We eat all the time. Look. But understand this, he's got special plans for you. Listen, maybe you're here today and you have been ducking and dodging the responsibilities that the Lord has put in your way. You know, some of them you feel bad about, some of them you don't. You know, some of you sit back and go, what is wrong with my heart? Am I just heartless today? No, you're not. But you're allowing Satan to lead you down a path that you shouldn't go down. It's time to change that. Today. Listen, I don't know what the Holy Spirit has said to you, but you do. He is going to hold you responsible to take action on what he's taught you today. For some of you, you need to just lay the garbage down at the altar. I still believe in an altar call. I had that conversation with somebody this past week. They said, well, do you do an altar call? I'm like, yeah. Why would you not? Well, that offends some people. I'm like, well, you know what? I'd rather offend someone out of hell than to be whatever they want me to be and go to hell. Good old altar call ain't nothing wrong with. Amen? Maybe you just need that. Maybe you need whatever it is. I am begging you to deal with whatever the Holy Spirit has placed in your life today. Don't wait. You're not Baptist. We're in a thing. We're going to sing one verse. Okay? If you ain't down here by the end of the first verse, I'm going to be calling ushers forward. You already know. Listen, you already know what the Holy Spirit said to you. You already know what you need to do. So get up and do it. Now, we'll give you a little extra time. If you get down here before the end of the first verse, Brad will keep singing. It'll be all right. That's an encouraging thing. Let's make Brad hoarse today. This is your time to deal with what God has placed on your heart. You got one verse to start making action. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and you respond accordingly.
There's life for all.
as your hands are bound, as your eyes are closed, as you do business with God, He has spoken something to you today individually. What has He told you? What does He need for you to do to be in compliance with what He's put in your heart? Whatever it is, make it right today. As you continue to seek the Lord, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, You are so, so good to us. And Lord, thank You again for allowing us to be used as instruments in Your hand. And Lord, we come to this time again at church, which is an act of worship, the time when we return to You the tithe and the offering. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us truly will be found faithful in our giving to You, not because of any other reason other than You tell us that You will bless us for being faithful to You. So, Lord, bless this tithe and offering. Lord, we pray that You will give myself and the staff and the leaders of this church the wisdom to utilize the funding in ways that You want us to, which are most reflective to You. And, Lord, bless the gift and the giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all knew that one? I was getting ready to do the hand motions. Remember that? Yeah. There we go. Thank you, Jim, and the ensemble. Let me let you know a couple things that are going on today. Very special birthday that is coming up this Saturday. I call her the staff mom. She is something else. Nancy Kreider. If you have anything bad to say about her, I will punch you. We love her dearly. She takes care of our staff. Y'all don't know this. This is behind the scenes stuff, but every time our birthdays come around or special days, she will cook our favorite meal. And we either go over to her house or we'll be here at the church or what have you. We love you, not just because you feed us, but we love you. So Nancy is having a birthday coming up this coming Saturday. Be sure to let her know how much you love her and appreciate her, because she is a very, very special person in my life as well as in this church. Just a couple things we got going on. My D group meets today. Choir rehearsal 4:45 right here in the sanctuary. Awana will be at its normal time at 5:30. And then Pastor David's Bible study will be at 6 o'clock in room 5 down the hall here. There will not be band practice tonight because you played today. There you go. Get a little bit of a break. Jim's not a slave driver. I'll give you a little bit of a break. A couple things on the slate for this week. Tomorrow, there's a building and grounds meeting at 4:30 in the Family Life Center 116. Then Steve's D group class is going to be at 6 o'clock in that same room. So building and grounds, y'all have to be done by 6 o'clock. So that will yield the room over to the discipleship class. Then just a couple things for the ladies' connection dates. 4-2 is going to be the next monthly meeting at 4 o'clock p.m. April, there we go, get my months right. April the 2nd in FLC 116 at 4 o'clock p.m. And then the monthly breakfast is going to be April the 10th at 9 o'clock a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. Just a reminder, we are essentially reworking our prayer list. And all the individuals on a prayer list are going to be removed with the exception of long-term or cancer individuals. If you've got somebody on the prayer list and you want them to stay on the prayer list, please contact either Sylvia, Debbie, or Tim. We'll make sure that it stays on there. The reason we're doing this is that we're not just hateful people. It's just that a lot of times we will get prayer requests, but we don't get updated on them. And then, I mean, there's times we've had folks on our prayer list that had died months ago. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're keeping our prayer list up to date. So if you've got a prayer request that you want to keep on there, there's Sylvia. Wave, Sylvia. She's charismatic back there. See her waving that hand? That's Sylvia. Wave one more. There we go. Tim over here, or you can call Debbie in the office, and we'll make sure that those requests that you have stay on there. But that's why we just have a clean start of knowing what all is taking place. Finally, I just want to mention that every second Friday of the month, if you are a veteran, Bethel United Methodist Church actually has a free breakfast for you at 8:30 over at Bethel. And Bill has actually been, and he said they have a lot of good resources that will come in to help from the VA and that sort of thing. So if there's questions that you may have, a lot of good stuff that's going on there. So take the time, go by there, and hey, enjoy a free meal. That works. Anything I have forgotten? I know Pastor David's going to be coming up here, and he's going to let you know a thing or two, and then pray us on out of here. But guys, I love you. Let's serve him to the end, and let's encourage one another, and watch God do some incredible things.
Pastor alluded to this. I wanted you to see this picture. That took place this week to one of the least of these, my brethren. We had a group of our guys went, and we joined another church, Lawndale Baptist Church, and built this handicap ramp. The gentleman sitting on the left-hand side, sitting at the end, he's the beneficiary of that. He has not been able to get out of his house in years, because there was no way to do it. It was a high porch. He had a deck, but it was steps there. He could not walk. And we were able this week to provide a ramp for him to get off of that with, and also a motorized wheelchair that he could ride down in, because his wife and son are really, neither one are really physically able to do that for him. And sitting out there, I heard this, sitting out there, he's, He said, I can get out and just sit in the sun now if I want to. He can actually get on that and get out there and do that. I want to thank Pastor Roy and Tim and Don and Jeff and Mark and Roger and Don's son-in-law, Jay, the guys from our church who went. This is definitely living out Pastor's message this morning. Pray for us as we do projects like this. We've got some more. Some of them, like Pastor Roy said this morning, got some real challenges to them. But God has been faithful, and your giving has helped us do that. We have money in the budget to do some things like that. So you just pray for this group of guys, D-Life group, that is out doing that. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you and praise you for your love for us and your provision for us, for our salvation, and knowing that having the surety that there is nothing we can do to lose it because you are holding on to us. And we just thank you and praise you for that, Father. And we thank you and praise you for people who desire to get out and do things to serve you by serving others. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give us opportunity to do this type of ministry. Bless us as we go our separate ways today. We thank you for the privilege we've had of being here. Use us this week for your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.